The only thing I have to report from the special meeting is we approved the
What is the board's pleasure?
resolution and ratified the Harbor Master's proclamation. All right. I'm not sure if we should go through with the roll call, but I guess let's do the roll call again just for posterity.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Present.
Commissioner Shepherd?
Present.
Vice Chair Newman?
Present.
Chair Weber?
Present. Okay, we're skipping to the general public comments. General public comment.
Sure, if you please, thanks.
Yes.
Yep.
There we go.
That.
Wait another.
The question is, who's in charge of the harbor when an emergency happens? Like I say, I fished 9 years in Alaska. If the harbor master told us to stay out, drift, anchor up, or whatever, we have to. I watched in an hour five boats almost hit the ice plant. If the current's going 17 knots, most boats do seven. There's no maneuverability to it. So, I mean, who opens and closes this harbor? I mean, I've heard comments from one commissioner that the guy needs to know how to run his boat better. That's not the case. That was dangerous. So who runs the harbor? Oh, we're not getting any answers.
This
I'm
is
talking to
a
him.
public comment session, not a question and answer session.
Hold up.
Thank you. Somebody else. No other comments? Yes, please go ahead. No questions. Comment.
Well, my comment is going to be left in the form of questions that hopefully somebody will come back with an answer. Let me oh, get my bones out of this chair. It's harder every day. I will start now. Thank you. I'm wondering if somebody can check with it's Mike Barr who writes the grants. Then he would be the person, I guess, who's most experienced at it. To find out if there is any sense that it is the grant, the written grant application only, and whatever evidentiary things the people who give the grants do to determine the worthiness, or if there's any concern about feeding the sense of drama and need through public announcements or press releases. At another time, I'd like to share with you something I got a challenge to do and having to do with press releases. And in doing that recently, I saw an awful lot of negative remarks in print articles that wind up on Google searches. And I'm concerned about the articles I just saw in the last few days. The only new information I see at the harbor's website is about the tsunami. And for most of America, the word tsunami brings to mind Fukushima and brings to mind that awful movie about what happened in Phuket, Thailand. If you were living on the East Coast, Atlantic City gets waves like this all the time. And they knock out huge piers, huge piers. And it's a storm. It's a hurricane. It's the tail end of a hurricane in Florida, comes up to New Jersey. And yeah, there's big damage, but nobody gets killed in general. And so my concern is the articles that are both online at the Harbor site. And you will find were picked up on Google and rewritten by somebody who works in the Sacramento Examiner. They're scary. If I didn't live in this area, if I didn't know and love this area, I'd never come here because the way it's written is terrifying. And I think somebody, unless it was written to influence who's giving the grant, then I can almost justify it. But I don't think grants are done that way. I think it's all about what you put into the application and what you give in evidentiary inspections and whatnot. So I would highly recommend that you consider having somebody who understands how to spin a press release. If you want to tell a story, there's a way to tell it so you get your message across without delivering a message that's so negative it works against you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Remember, when people come to you guys to try to give their grievances to you regarding the Harbor Master, and you silence them by saying, we're not going to answer any questions, that's just not appropriate. You got a problem. You got a Harbor Master that doesn't conduct Harbor Master duties. He was down in LA during the tsunami. Could he predict there was going to be a tsunami? Nobody could predict that. It happened. But the point of the matter is that we don't need a glorified harbor master who sits on his bottom and does paperwork. We need someone who is an active harbor master here. And when you don't listen to your fishermen of all people, especially somebody with 9 years experience plus, and you shut them up, that's a shame. That is a shame to everyone here. How are we supposed to find out stuff if you don't even want to be transparent when questions are asked? Because you say you're available after the meetings, but clearly you're not available, and it depends on who you are. I know for a fact none of you are available for me after any meeting, or on the phone or email. I don't get acknowledged because you don't like what I have to say. But there are other people who have things to say. And when you cut them off like that, you're silencing the public. And how does that make you look? Thank you.
Somebody else like to contribute? All right. Seeing none, hearing none, online?
No.
Nope. All right, we're moving on to commission, communications and reports. Harbor Commission and committee reports first. Let's go down the line, Jesse.
Thank you, Chairman. I have a number of broadcast your comments, thoughts, ideas, and concerns. And Linda, I did agree to meet with you, but you stood me up.
Happy to.
I am concerned, Andy, that as we are dancing closer to the financial cliff that you keep referring to, what is the effect upon the individual commissioner liability? It's my understanding we do not have an active and enforceable E&O insurance policy that hasn't taken place yet, fell through the crack. So if there is a bankruptcy, what effect does that event have on the obligation of the Harbor District to continue paying the salary for the next 5 years of our Harbor Master? I think we need to clear up those concerns. Mike, I listened to the fishermen, I listened to Linda and myself from time to time, and I think it's time for you, sir, to relocate the Harbor Master's office to the gift shop room right inside the front door here, because that would increase your visibility to the public that we're serving. It would give access to you and the harbor during work days and work hours. It would make it convenient for the fishing fleet, the public, the employees and staff to reach you when we need to talk to you. Okay. I have a question for you as well, Mike. Have you vacated the Abalone building?
Yes.
And you relocated to permanent residence elsewhere?
In the RV park.
In the RV park, okay. Is there a contractual financial understanding that has been reached regarding those costs or obligations with the Harbor District? Because I think paying your rent was part of the compensation package.
Yeah, the way it's written, there's no rent that's collected, so it's just that, you know, premises are provided. There's a term for it, I think it's a fringe rent credit or something. If you look at the IRS code, there's a particular terminology for it.
Okay. And that's something that has been worked out with somebody, I presume.
It's just as reflected in my employment contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm proposing, and I have made a very hasty draft of what I think should be an organizational chart for the staff. And I'll give you a copy, sir. Anybody gets a copy. This is my first quickie shot at it, because it's obvious that when Mike, you're in LA, we need somebody up here who's in charge. And, you know, we have very overworked staff. They need to have their goals, duties, and responsibilities clearly defined. And I think that this would take a big step in that direction.
May I have a copy?
Pardon? There you go. So, basically, the purpose of my purpose is to find the chain of command, outline the duties and responsibilities, and then from a revenue-saving perspective, avoid duplicate or overlapping responsibilities when we can make sure we're not paying two people to do the same job. Avoid conflicts, delay, uncertainty, and have a backup person, and establish a clear path to promotion and career advancement for our employees, so they can kind of foresee where if they learn, improve their skills, where they can go. So I think that would be helpful. And finally, I think that a number of us go to a lot of meetings. I know John there.
At this time, it appears, Commissioner Schmidt, that you're circumventing the standard procedure to get something placed on the agenda.
Yeah.
Commissioner, comments, sir. Yeah, I don't need you to silence me.
Well, that's not the intent. The intent is that we have bylaws to have something placed on the agenda.
You know, I have 10 seconds left to talk.
Hold on for a second. Let me clarify this. I understand you. I've given you great leeway in things that you have done the time that we were off our meetings, right? This is what you have been spending time as a commissioner with, and this is what you're reporting on. Is this correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you may, but you're not making a case for it. You're just reporting what you have done. Let's just.
It's my comment.
I understand. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'm with you there. I'm giving you some leeway.
Thank you. My final comment, won't take a few seconds, John, is that I think the Harbor Commissioner should have some kind of a name badge or something that we can wear at some of these meetings we get, so the public can identify us and seek us out and talk to us. So you go to a meeting with 50 people, like I think Doc sponsored a party at the Oaks Lodge, and be helpful for people who know who the Harbor Commissioners are. That's it, John.
Thank you. Somebody else would like to report on what's happening.
Nothing to report this time.
I actually have a name tag with my commissioner's name on it, but that was from years ago, so I guess we haven't done, they haven't done new ones. That's a really good one. I appreciate that, John, and we'll have to look at this dam. But today we spread some gravel over by the fish company there, so we have some more land at least. There's been unusable mud, so we got that accomplished, and we got to look into increasing that lease area over there because we have more land to use that we haven't been using in 30 years that I know of. So it was a big accomplishment, I thought, today. But that's about it.
Chair Weber and I were assigned to the emergency preparedness plan ad hoc committee. I began work last Friday. It wasn't discussed today. I began a resolution. Chair Weber has also been emailed it. So we are trying to move forward on an emergency preparedness plan. My other comment is the last couple meetings, they've been using Zoom AI Companion. Is that up and running today?
Gotcha.
So Zoom AI Companion is a fancy, not fancy, it's AI, and it summarizes the meeting for us. It's AI, so it has errors, but I would like it. I would like to continue using Zoom AI and not make a motion today, but present a resolution for the next meeting or have it agendized that we use AI as a summary to the action meeting minutes. So currently on our bylaws, we do action minutes. It's much simpler for the staff. AI generates the summary very quickly. Staff can review it. The engineer from Moffitt Nichols said their company uses it and it's very effective. So I would like it to be agendized on the next meeting that we attach or consider the attachment of the Zoom AI Companion as a summary to the action minutes. So then we're clearing up the air. We have summaries for what's happening. And finally, I'm thanking Dan for this organizational chart. When the budget was presented in June per part of our bylaws and the previous bylaws, the organizational chart should have been presented with it. And while this isn't from staff, that should have been presented. I've asked for the last three regular sessions, the one that was canceled and these two, for an amended budget to be presented, because at that meeting we had made a significant change to the budget. Well, it was just changing where the money was. It makes a great change. That still is not present, or this. So those are my comments.
All right. I've been busy in various ways, having some of the stories come together with me and with our harbor master. Most of the actual work was done by other people. For example, Commissioner Niebuhr found out a number of things about the emergency plans and the like. So I will continue working with you. Looking forward to being super productive, but this is all I have to announce at this point. CEO report.
Yeah, so obviously most of my focus has been on the tsunami and damage assessments, working with engineers in academia as well as the private sector, Cal OES, the county, also we have the RFP that was issued, that was posted yesterday for the RV parks, and it's being distributed to a lot of investment groups all across the country. So we'll see what kind of response we get from that, but that's some progress. Also, there's been a lot of interest from a company up in Oregon about setting up a trucking terminal here. And there's also an investment group that may want to build the terminal. So I don't know where that's going to go, but it's interesting. Also, another company is looking at building cold storage here, which would consolidate all of these separate units that we have, the reefer, shipping container units, that should be a lot more efficient. And then I just wanted to address the comment that you had about shutting down ingress and egress. That was done at about 0300 hours by the Coast Guard. And then the Harbor District released a press release at 8:30 that morning, which augmented that closure. So we did respond in that fashion, trying to get the word out. I know Justin was contacting people. I don't know if he, got on the VHF or not, but the Coast Guard did.
All right. Thank you very much. Moving on to the consent calendar, I just want to make sure that we are setting aside the minutes of July 22nd from the rest of the minutes, because in order to allow all people who were present at certain meetings to vote. So Vice Chair Nima wasn't present at the meeting on July 22nd. That's the reason why I want the handwritten separately. Would you do the?
I think
we're calling, motion.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to. But anyways, to begin with, our attorney said that even though we weren't present to the meeting, but it was a closed session meeting, so that's why she can't vote on it. So
yeah,
okay, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for July 22nd, 2025.
Mr. Chairman, did you state that Commissioner Niebuhr was not present at that meeting?
Correct.
Then we have a clerical error on the roll call that lists Niebuhr as present during that meeting.
Well, she was present for it, but then she was...
I was... that house caught on fire. I wasn't here.
Oh, that's what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I'd like to amend the motion to accept the minutes as submitted. With the clerk Blair credit.
Thank you.
Yeah, my motion has been amended to remove Chairman Niebuhr from the roll call. With that, I still move to approve. Second the original motion.
All right.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Aye.
Mr. Evans?
Aye.
Mr. Shepard?
Yes.
Vice Chair Niebuhr?
Abstain.
Chair Leavitt?
Aye. All right, let's handle the rest of the meetings. I entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve the special meeting on July 23rd, 2025, and the regular meeting on August 7th, 2025. Special meeting.
Would it be appropriate just to make a motion to approve the minutes as submitted in the consent calendar?
Okay.
Yes.
All in one vote, right? I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepard?
Yes.
Vice Chair Niebuhr?
Aye.
Chair Weber?
Aye. All right, we're moving on to action items. Consider and approve financial services proposal from Sandy Moreno, Summit Accounting, to work in conjunction with Stephen Denny, CPA, 9010 Consulting.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think Sandy's, in my opinion, done a really admirable job of helping us get things, turned around, and just I think the financial statements are a little bit more clear, for the commissioners. That's the feedback that I've received. And she's really worked hard with staff to set up some new procedures. And I want to maintain that continuity of operations. And, she's proposing through the end of the fiscal year. And I know she's really focusing on training up some of our staff that they could eventually take on that responsibility. And so I think the focus is on internal development and growth, which will be additional cost savings. So, and she's limiting her hours to, I think if you do the math, it's roughly like 18 hours a week, not to exceed. I think her target is usually around 10 hours a week. So sometimes it's a little bit more, a little bit less. But so I definitely would endorse her proposal. She is asking for a pay increase, but it's commensurate with other accounting firms. I don't think it's out of line, but we can please West Elk.
All right. Any commissioner want to get started on this?
No, the question I had no question with Sandy's portion of it, but Stephen Dennehy is still with us. So he's under some kind of contract. I didn't read in there the amount that we're paying him or the how much do we use him and how much is he costing us approximately.
Yeah, we just use him to sort of provide some oversight if there's really complicated questions that come up. And I think at this point, under this contract, it's been a couple $1,000s. I don't know if Christina, do you know offhand? It's maybe like
65 an hour.
I think Commissioner Shepard's asking for the total amount that we paid. Is that your
Denny, for Denny?
For the total amount that we've paid?
Yeah,
Yeah, and have you and
you know, maybe you'd like to make a presentation?
Sure. And have you do you like working having him working with us?
I'd like to make a presentation.
Oh, on this
yeah, before you guys have public comment, I kind of planned on being able to present my quote and have a discussion about it.
Right. Okay.
And things have come up.
But I did that. Hold off on our part and yes.
Yes.
That seems appropriate.
I think that I. So yeah, the first thing I would have started with was if you didn't mention the $75 an hour, that would have been the first thing I would have expected somebody to say. When I went through the when I was interviewed by the personnel committee, I made the comment that I'll give you the first 3 months so I can analyze what you look like, figure what it is, and I'll do it for 10 grand. After that, I'm going to have an amount of $75 an hour. $50 an hour is what I charged in 2015, and I haven't had a raise since. And after COVID, every contractor doubled their prices. So I feel it's a very fair price. In addition to that, my plan of what I would be doing when I go forward would be well worth that. I hope that you're going to give me a little leeway here in how I correspond, because I'm going to tie a bunch of things together. I want to respond specifically to the last couple of weeks. I've been called a liar. Let me see here. I've got this. I've been called a liar, that I'm unqualified to do this job. That I've been withholding documents, that I've been refusing to update a budget. Commissioner Niemer and I had a discussion on Friday. Clearly, she talked to her constituents, Ms. Setter and to Hank Aiken, though he's not here today. He talked to those two based on our discussion, because clearly they came back to a Monday meeting and reiterated all of these things, which they only could have known if they spoke to Commissioner Niemer. So I want to take this time to respond to all of these, because it's been going on for a couple of days. So please allow me to that I can respond in kind as I've been treated, and I'll try and keep it constructive criticism. When we did get together originally, John and Dan and Mike and I got together, and one of the first things we talked about, it was chain of command. I work for Mike Rademy. Work for the board, yes, I get it, but chain of command is the board goes to Gerhardt, Gerhardt goes to Mike, I work for Mike. Mike's the CEO and he runs the company. I'm going to talk a little bit. So chain of command was very important to me and how we're going to run the business. The next thing I want to talk about is I'm eminently qualified, and I'm going to tell you why I'm eminently qualified to do this job. In 2006, I worked with Big Rock Community Services District. Craig Bradford, who is an excellent manager, took the money out of the county for the Big Rock Community Services District, which is the water district for Hiuchi. And he took the money out and he decided to set up his own finances and stuff. He engaged me to come in and set all that up for him. When I set that all up for him, we went and did a rate study. And from the rate study, we were able to increase the rates to what they should be so that we weren't losing money again. From those financials that I made, he was able to get grants into a $4 million project using three grants and a gap loan. To make that all happen. It was my financials that put all that and did all that together. I ran his accounting office. I ran his business for 15 years plus. That's my first reference. My second reference is going to be the chart room. Chart room. Jen Wellman bought the chart room in 2009. She engaged me to set up her books and to run her company, her financial management of her company. And she's done a fabulous job of that. I helped her through the COVID disaster. You can imagine what that was like for a restaurant, the different grants and PPPs and ERCs. And I did all of that for them. I'm still with them. That's a 9 to 24, 15-year job. Next one I'm going to talk to you about is Fashion Blacksmith. Fashion Blacksmith, in 2013, Ted's father passed away and the office manager passed away. Happened to be on my birthday. I always call them my birthday gift. I worked with them within 2 days. I had them up and running on their systems. I've been doing their financial management and running their company from the financial aspect from 2013 to now, another, let's say, 10 plus years. In their company, not only did I get them all started up because they were in a situation where some people had died and they needed to have somebody come right in and take over and run the business, but then we went through the arbitration, which you all know about. I went through and I worked them because of my financials. They got the settlement that they did. That's the kind of work that I do. Next, I went. My next reference is going to be Klamath Community Services District. I worked with them in 2013. They had malfeasance on the board. They have Margaret Culver runs that. She brought me in. I set up all their finances and have taken them through being able to do grants, being able to do rate studies. So I'm eminently qualified to do this job. The people I worked with were astute business people. I'm only as good as I am if I surround my people with that caliber of people. All of this to say, when I speak, you should listen. Not should you only listen, but you should probably act in how I'm suggesting that you act. I get that you're not going to do that all the time, but you probably should. I just gave you four examples of people who kept me around for 10 to 15 years, have successful businesses, have all gone through ups and downs. I'm eminently qualified to do this job. There's no pleasure or joy in saying I told you so, or knowing that I could have produced a better product. So Annie comes in on Friday, and she wants to have access to some documents. Christina immediately comes to me, as she was instructed to do, because if it's my show, I'm going to have control. She came to me, asked me about it. First, she said it was about insurance. So immediately I thought, no, you know, insurance, it's a big deal. I would definitely want to be involved in that. Send her on up. It ended up not being about insurance. It ended up being about an emergency response plan. So I'd already looked in the files that I knew about. I didn't see any emergency response plans. Fine, go ahead. Go look and see what you find. She's going to look in all the tsunami stuff because I agree. I've dealt with emergencies. You have to have an emergency response plan if you're getting FEMA or any of those other things. I also called up Mike Rademacher to see if he knew about any emergency response plans. He said he didn't at the time. I told you that. She finishes her conversation. She finishes looking. She comes on up, and she shows me that she's got a binder made for Board of Supervisors or for the board, a policy book. She wanted to take that with her. I asked them, no, don't take that with you, please, because there's only one copy. And I don't want anything leaving unless I an important book like that. I want to make sure I have it here. I suggested I'd have copies made for you. They're made. They're up in there. You can have them when you need them. Annie, thank you, thank you, thank you for being the board member that you are, because she, in my opinion, is the only board member that I really see take a thing and do it and grab hold of it, take ownership, and come with a finished product. I wish you wouldn't. You and I had talked after I started, and I asked that you maybe take a couple steps back. Let me tell you what some of my thinking is. You did the bylaws and you consolidated it with the policy and procedures manual. I have said to you repeatedly, this is a huge mistake when you were doing it, and I wasn't engaged, had no intention of being engaged, but I said it repeatedly. My understanding is that when you have bylaws, if you change your bylaws, you have to tell the state, because that's part of what you do when you organize within the state. You do articles of incorporation if you're a corporation, you send them your bylaws if you're this kind of entity. Granted, hey, I don't know everything, but if somebody tells me I'm doing something wrong, I'm going to go figure it out and I'm going to do it right. So that's my understanding of it. I could be wrong, but that's how I feel it's been done for a long time. So I told you, and actually I told everybody, I won't look at your bylaws until you had your minutes approved a month ago, because you were behind in all your minutes being approved. Those bylaws weren't approved in a minute. So I refused to read them because I'm not going to spend a bunch of time reading bylaws and policies, particularly when I don't like the way it's put together and because they're not legitimate yet. That's one example. The second example, you did the new book thing. You did all that great work on researching those different things and you guys decided on new book. At the time, I had said, you all board people knew I was coming. In March, I committed to coming in and doing this, but I had to wait until after the tax season because I was committed. And I wasn't coming until April 23rd. I told you all to not do this, to wait until I got here and I would handle it. But you guys wanted to push it through and you wanted to do it and you did it. And of course, when I got here in my first month and looked at the RV thing, I saw that they kind of had control of what was going on in the new book. They were doing the bookings and somebody had already done the mapping, all these really important things you have to think about. But now in hindsight, I could tell you 20 things that are wrong with New Book and why it shouldn't have been done. But I wasn't involved with it. I didn't get to make the decision, even though I asked that you wait for me. So when you came and you talked about doing an emergency response plan on Friday, what I should have said to you is, and I did not communicate, was, you know what, I've already done emergency response plan. You guys are all talking about emergency response plan. If Hank Aiken really wanted to help our harbor, instead of always saying negative about everybody, what he should have said is, here, let me show you a copy of Big Rock's emergency response plan. And that would have given you a good outline on how you make an emergency response plan. Now, I don't know what you found and what you've done, but what I know is I know my job, and I do it damn well. Who's the first person on this emergency response plan when you contact? Point of contact, Sandy Moreno. Initial contact at office, in charge for all emergencies until replaced by an elected official or the general manager. This is what I do, and I do it good. I'm eminently qualified for this job. Mm-hmm. Any good investigated reporter would make a point of getting two sources before they made comment and perhaps pointing two points of view or reporting two points of view when they do a story and do it unbiasedly. So for somebody to listen to a comment made by Annie and say that I'm withholding documents and refusing to update the budget, let me not forget this one. You have asked me to do the budget. Let me tell you about budget again. I know finances. I know financial reports. When you guys talked about doing the budget and you wanted to reserve that money, great idea is what I said. I'm probably not going to need that money until December. So you want to reserve it now? That's okay, because we're not going to need it till December. It does not change the budget because you asked to reserve it. There is no change to the budget for $181,000. Your operating budget is exactly the same. What I said at the time is, you know what, we did know is Mr. Hemmingson pointed out $33,000 in interest income isn't going to be there. That was the one change. That maybe was significant. But I didn't care about that either because I do budgets. And I know that I don't want to look at my budget. It's a living document, but I don't want to make changes to my document every month. I'm going to wait until the quarter. I'm going to wait until the first quarter because I know I just put out one in June, which was an analysis for the whole year. At the end of the first quarter is going to be the first time I'm going to get to look at my budget and really think about what changes do I want to make and how does it affect us. And because we're in a potential bankruptcy scenario, it's even more important to be doing that. I don't want to do it every month because I don't want to stress. I don't want you guys to stress. I don't want anybody else to stress. If I do a budget and I live by my budget, I don't have to worry about I'm going to go bankrupt because I'm living within my means. That's what a budget is all about. Let's talk about insurance. I'm being told I'm a liar because of insurance. At the time, this is June, I did insurance analysis. Your comment about E&O policy, something fell through the cracks, incorrect. We absolutely have an E&O policy. There's nothing wrong there. Perhaps what you're talking about is the bond, and there absolutely is a bond. So I'm going to mix insurance and bond together. We do have a bond. I did talk to Alyssa at Del Norte County months ago when it was all brought up. Her comment was it needed to be recorded and that she didn't have it. But we do have it. Now, here's what you need to know about bonds. In a bond, you bought it in 2009. Perhaps at the time when it was bought in 2009, it did go through the Board of Supervisors, which, let me take it in another direction. Mr. Aiken, I'm not really pointing at you, it's just that's usually where he sits. Mr. Aiken makes a comment and says something about it needs to be judicially reviewed. It does not. Annie, you sent me a good document a couple months ago that just says it has to go before the Board of Supervisors. Now, typically, you wouldn't go to the Board of Supervisors every year with that. The year you purchased it in 2009, it should have gone before the board and been approved. I would make that assumption. It'd make an ass out of you and me if I did that. So no, I'm going to have to check it out and I'm going to find out and I'm going to have to probably put it through the Board of Supervisors, get them approve it and put it on there. So everybody's got their I's dotted and their T's crossed. And I'll do that. But I wasn't comfortable doing it yet because the document that I have, I don't see signatures in the right places. And unless it's completely, fully executed, it's not good enough for me. So before I can give it to the board of supervisors, I have to get that updated. But I wanted to research this judicial review comment or whatever else was going on, because I'm going to make sure I do it right the first time, which means it's going to take time. So because you asked for it 60 days ago, whatever, it doesn't mean I'm not working on it. I work in a 30-day cycle. It takes me that long. If you guys are going to do special meetings every week, how are we going to have time to get any work done if we're constantly having to do special meetings? Because I can't get all this work done. Excuse me, Mona. I need a drink. Yeah, this is 90, 15 minutes. So let's go back to the insurance and the BKK. The only documents we had on time that we knew about was the thing that said USDA documents, closing documents from the attorney. Now, that's usually pretty good reference, right? It's coming from the attorney. It's your closing documents. We've all bought houses. Closing documents are usually tell you these are the final documents of the transaction. So went to the US, went to those documents. The only document in there that talked about insurance clearly said you can do a risk analysis. And based on that risk analysis, you can decide to self-insure. This was presented to me from Mike. I didn't see the document at the time, the whole document at the time, but he presented it to me at the time. I used that, but it wasn't the only document that I used to make my recommendations for what to do. I did a complete insurance analysis. Now, again, bear in mind, I've done insurance analysis for 30 years, all stages of it. What did I find? I found that there were no certificates of insurance naming the USDA as an additional shirt on it. Not in any of the years that I looked at. The insurance increased 30% this last year and had increased similar amounts in the previous years. Tsunamis, wave action, wind action would not be covered under any of those policies. We did not have any losses. The only losses that we've ever had was tsunami related or wind related or wave related. So it wouldn't have been covered. We would have had to put out not only the $181,000, but we would have had to put out a $250,000 deductible. $400,000 about, let's just say. You're going through bankruptcy. I just put together a budget for you. There was no other decision you guys could have come up with. But how are you going to become solvent over a course of a year? No other decision you could have made. So I don't care if USDA requires you to have property insurance. You didn't have a choice. I stand behind that. And this is a teaching moment for me. When I make a decision, I tell you why I made the decision and I stand behind it. And that's what I'm doing right here and now. So yes, a tsunami came, but it would make no difference on the decision that you guys made. And I gave you the recommendation that I did and I stand behind it. Talk about the grand jury report. Everything in the grand jury report, I have already addressed. No duh. We knew that somebody who put in a budget last year with a $37 million deficit, what kind of budget is that? I mean, anybody who knows finances knows that that's not a budget. Okay? So that's not news to us. We know there was malfeasance. That's why Tim Petrick isn't here anymore. Duh. We don't have that. But let me tell you what we do know. We know that in September of 24, Mike Rademacher came on as the interim harbor master. Within a month or two, we spent grant money and brought in all these consultants to talk about revenue generation development. In March, they gave you a presentation and a vision. All during this time, this man's been out there pound on the streets. No, he's not here meeting with all the fishermen because he's spending every minute trying to accomplish the goals that you've set out for him. Nobody ever says thank you. I have this thing that I live by. You know, for every negative thing you hear, you need to hear seven positive things because you get depressed hearing negative, right? You got to hear seven positive things. I'm giving you seven positive things right now. right? Now we got our RFP out. But not only the RFP, I don't agree with doing the RFP process for this one. I've already told you that several times. Why don't I? Because when I make a decision, I stand behind it. You send him out to get revenue. He found somebody who's willing to come in and be your anchor person. They're willing to do it now. And this is a no-brainer. I work with astute business professionals. You should not be been spending any of this money on this RFP, right? You already made the decision. You went too far. And I told you this. I told you so. I said to you, where's my credit application so I can check this guy out before you start spending money with a lawyer and start talking about those documents? Why are you making presentations to the board in a closed session or an open session? Why is any of that happening? Because an RFP should have happened, but it didn't. And you have legitimate reasons for it not happening. You guys are in trying to turn around a company, which I happen to specialize in. I've been doing it. I just gave you four references to show you how I went in and worked with a company and made sure they were successful. But you didn't do that. And my argument to you, and I hope you passed it on to these guys, was stand up and say, no, we're not going to do the RFP. We're working with this guy. They've come up with a pretty good deal. If they pass a credit check, we should be jumping on that guy and we should be moving on it because we're trying to become solvent. I know who I am. I know what my weaknesses are. I'm arrogant. I can be annoying. My voice raises because I get excited. You might be hearing anger because I'm expressing, I have some anger, which I'm about to get to, and I haven't really got there. I'm kind of working to a crescendo here. My timeliness is my downfall. I work on a lot of things, and I don't get them done until they're perfect. I just don't get you out of quick and dirty. I'm not a quick and dirty person. I love working with Christina. She's my check and balance. You know, I have so many things on my desk that, and she keeps track of what she knows about and she keeps on top of me. She's a check and balance to me. I love that I'm able to stand up here and talk like this because I feel like public gets a chance to be involved and correct me if it's not right. Gives us a chance to do right by each other and see each other. I don't see any of you guys any other time. I like this. This is important to me being able to be successful in helping you guys turn around your company. I'm curious enough to ask questions and to know that I don't know everything. And sometimes I think I do, and I really don't. And I'm okay. You guys give me constructive criticism. I have broad shoulders. I would appreciate it not being accusatory. I'd prefer constructive criticism. I think I will achieve my goal, and you will achieve your goal if we do it that way. Talking about the gift shop. I don't know who decided on that gift shop. That is the biggest mistake. I'm too old to be going up and down those stairs and sweating in that office up there. And there's no privacy. And quite frankly, if I'm going to be turning in a company around, I need to be able to close my door and have those discussions. So you wonder why I'm not here. It's because I'm in my office doing what I need to do. 10 hours a week, I do a hell of a lot more than 10 hours a week. 18 hours a week is what this paper represents. The only reason why that paper represents 18 hours a week is because I took the amount that you were paying Thomas and David. And I averaged that out and said, okay, I'll do it for that amount because I don't really care about what the money is. I know I'm gonna do a lot more hours than that cost, but I know that that's my not to exceed. This is a labor of love that I do here. Thank God to my husband who allows me to do this, right? And it's not all about money and blah, blah, blah. Some people like to run in chaos. I don't, right? Chaos, it's a way to operate, particularly when you're in a troubled company and turn it around. It's a way to get things done. Tim Petrick operated in chaos all the time. I'm not a chaos person. I like an orderly thing. As I've said many times, I think that you solve a lot of your problems by doing a couple of easy things. I'm going to start with the agenda. The agenda should be minutes, financials, old business, new business. A lot of things that people complain about, and I'm certainly complaining about, is things don't get finished. John, yesterday you were frustrated because Dan wanted to kind of review that document one more time, and you guys extensively reviewed it in the previous meeting, and you would have thought it would just be, the right answer there would have been, Let him bring it up. And if you have to do one more special meeting, or hopefully just do it in the next meeting, that's what old business, new business accomplishes. It's important that everybody feel good about that product that you get out and you take the time to do it, right? We work it. We're management. He's the CEO. We're running the company. We bring stuff to you. You guys see it. You tell us what you think. We take it back. We massage it. We come back. Is it good enough? Maybe it's not. Maybe it needs one more. Hopefully that's it. But that's a good way to run the company. The cash flow report should be approved at every meeting. If we had the financial section, the financial meeting is always the second meeting. There should always be a cash flow report. In addition to that, all invoices that are not normal operating procedures, they need to be out there. Even if they're legal fees, you block out that stuff. I gave you all those bills at one of the last meetings and said this is what it was. I gave it to you blocked out. You didn't even put them in there. $15,000, $5,000, $10,000 in legal fees. The public should know about that. Okay. I'm almost near the end.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. An accounting office. It starts with a data entry clerk. Then you have an accounts receivable clerk. You have an accounts payable clerk. Maybe you have a payroll clerk. After you have that, you have a bookkeeper, probably handles the general ledger, does bank reconciliations, manages the other clerks. After a bookkeeper, you have a full charge bookkeeper. Usually that means they do it through financial statements. After that, you have the accountant, a full charge bookkeeper, accountant, kind of the same things to me. That's what I would call myself. I'm proud to say I'm a bookkeeper, full charge through financial statements. What does that mean? It means that I'm doing taxes, license, insurances, legal fees on top of all of those other things. And I'm doing your cash flow and I'm doing your budgets. Does everybody remember when I handed out these sheets? Do you remember you got them with my first quote? Does anybody else want to see another one? I'm eminently qualified to do all of these things. So what I was going to say is this is a labor of love and I would love to be here. I didn't read the minutes, the agenda for today. Mike called me on Friday and or Saturday, I guess it was, and mentioned that we're going to do this in conjunction with the CPA. I've never not had somebody look at my work at that at a level, right? That level has always been you're my auditor or I need a CPA to sign off on something. That's when a CPA gets involved for me. Or an auditor gets involved. They look at my work because I do good work. So typical of the way this board and Mike does work here, he calls me on Friday or Saturday and says, we're going to do this in conjunction. Absolutely. Please, let's do it in conjunction. I need that. I think that's important to have. This morning or a half hour before I come to this meeting, I see that my quote is being attached to what's going on with this other guy, Stephen Denny. See, here's where my anger is coming from. I'm getting ready to do the audit. I have a balance sheet that looks horrible. Nothing agrees. Nothing's right. There's no documents to support anything. And I remember sitting in these chairs complaining about this, about how can these still look like it? And I got here and 3 months in, I'm saying, how can these things can still be like this? You brought in Thomas. You brought in Dave. You brought in Steve Denny. And you still have this ick. I can fix this. I can do this. This is what I do. Now, Ms. Sutter here has made a comment that there's a law, a rule or something that says you got to have a CPA here. I know of no such rule. If you know it, please tell me where that's at. Because as far as I'm concerned, there is no rule that says that. And as far as I'm concerned, the harbor here has never had that in all your years. What you really needed was somebody like me. Somebody who's a bookkeeper, full charge bookkeeper, accountant, that's in here managing it. Now, I could go through all the lists of AR, AP, payroll, bank, all the different problems that are out there, the different taxes, the TOT, and all the things. And I could list all those problems for you, but I'm not going to go on because I've gone on long enough. The point being, this is not what I thought you had said on Saturday. Not at all. You want him to come make the financial reports monthly because you don't want me up here? That's how I'm interpreting it. I'm insulted. Quite frankly, I'm insulted. And I feel like I need to say, I don't support this. I was under the impression that I have all of your support. And yet this document has come to surface. And I don't know why. I don't understand it. So what I want to say is, this is a labor of love, and I love doing this kind of work, and I believe I can succeed, and you've shown me a way, and I wholly believe in what he does, and I don't like the way he does stuff, because I should have had a discussion. We should have had a discussion before this was given to a board. You should have known how I would have felt about this, and I don't. It's my turn. Let me just finish. So I just have to say, I feel insulted, and I want to... The only thing I would agree to on this, I think this contract for me to stay, and let me give you the bottom line. This isn't about whether you want to approve my quote. I told you I'm arrogant. It's a matter of whether I want to work for you, because I only work with astute business people. And I started the conversation with chain of command. If you want me here to help you turn your company around, this document needs to be changed, and it needs to say, as needed, Sandy will have access to you as needed, which is what we've agreed all along. And I'm not good. I know where I'm not good at. I'm not good at negotiating alone. I'm not good at going out there and schmoozing and selling and negotiating. That's not my gift. I stand at the right hand of the CEO. So I felt like, I had all this great energy I was going to come in with. And then I read this a half hour before coming here, and it changed my whole demeanor. So I'm sorry that I don't sound like I have seven positives, because I really do have seven positives. I believed in you guys. I gave you the first 3 months. I made an offer to give you another 9 months. This is taking away from my retirement. It takes time away from my husband. And I'm sincerely questioning whether I want to do that when I see a flowchart that talks about an assistant harbor master. There is not money in the budget for a CPA to do this level of work, stuff that I'm clearly capable of doing. And there's not money in the budget and no need for an assistant harbor master, because you don't need to be top heavy. What you need is a good accounting person with good financial systems in place, with very good staff to make it happen. And then somebody who's at the helm to make that happen. You have everything you need. I'm sorry to do this in an angry way, but that's how I'm feeling.
All right. I think, yes, I will call on you immediately. I gave lots of leeway to Sandy Moreno to give you a better idea what her work is like. And it gives you a chance to really think about it. Do we want this person? Is this what the harbor needs at the moment?
I think we clearly need her.
Are you talking about Steven or
yeah.
Sandy?
Sandy, yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's what I've wanted forever. I mean, we were way too top heavy for many years, and we're finally getting to where I feel this harbor is functioning at a very, very, a good level. And it's through Sandy that's helped us get there. And my question when Sandy wanted to do the presentation was, do we really need Stephen or put him in a far distant, for, like you said, for special purposes only? I don't want to know that we need to keep paying Stephen where I was going with when she did the presentation. So that's the only question I had on. I definitely want to accept her proposal. I definitely want Sandy working with us. This is my opinion. It's one of the best things I've went through. So many the accountants that we've had, three before her, and we never got anything, and it was just always messed up and it was mixed up, and I think now we're finally getting it squared away to where I can even understand the financials and stuff like that. So, which is that's pretty good. But anyways, that's where I stand. If it's very necessary to have her, my question is whether we need Stephen Denny or not.
Somebody else would like to add to that.
My first question to this is, my understanding with the work you're doing, it needs to be as an employee. Maybe you're aware of the ABC test through the state of California. It's come up with commercial fishing, whether you're 1099 or W-2. So my understanding by how the ABC test works is you're fulfilling a staff position, and that should be an employee role. When we did the 90 days, it was a gap under your business, I thought. So I would like just to clarify whether you pass or fail that ABC test through the state and what that position should be.
I definitely am not an ABC. I have an accounting firm, and I offer this service to the public. I'm very much not an employee.
And then my next concern is, while you were great, maybe great at $75 an hour, in your opinion, at $64,775, we had a full-time employee here all the time. The reason we went to part-time was to save money. With Negus and Thomas, while they didn't fulfill the obligation you're doing, you know, that's a full-time position here in the harbor. So my concern is, again, that you're taking away from, while you're doing an excellent job, a full-time person here at the harbor that's in a position that's somewhere between the harbor master and the rest of the staff. I know we discussed that. It is my opinion also on here. While this details a list of services, you brought it back to the CEPRAs, and so you've taken over some of the jobs that some of the other staff had. When I came to you, your comment was that all documents must come through you and Mike for review before giving it to anyone, so that you weren't blindsided by anything. And that's where I was referring to. You and Mike want to see everything, and I hear what you're saying, but as a government agency with commissioners, we're entitled to everything in this building, not before you preview it. And that's just how it is. Again, the budget, there were many changes. That day, you were fighting for doing 130,000 versus 50,000 in maintenance, and how is that allocated? And again, I am still unclear of all the line items. It's all there, not there. We were given a budget at that moment to review with some significant changes. And as our fiduciary duty, I believe it is to see the amendments and where those line items have changed with the condition we're in. The bond of 2009, there's an email between Mr. Rademacher and I, and I don't know if we got those emails with the funky dysfunction of our website, of our email issues. The 2009 bond was, it may have been an accurate statement then, but the Harbors and Navigation Code has clear language that is no longer in that document and needed to be updated. Allstate was the person on the bond at that time. My communication through Mike was that this is exactly what needed. Allstate said for an extra $75, we can make that happen. And that's where it was left. And there was all the change. So I don't know where that went, but there's language stuff from 2009 that is not accurate for today. As far as the insurance, again, I spoke with my agent, and they do believe that the harbor could have been covered by tsunami, wind, and wave through intact. Again, I would request that a quote, the documents, Christina may hopefully still have them. She received in April. Her and Dave Negus were working through this during the transition. And I would hope that she could complete that so we could actually get another quote, because my insurance agent believes that she can completely cover the harbor. New book was also through Dave Negus in the beginning. I heard you wanted us to wait if you were potentially coming here, but you'd worked with staff through Rover Pass, through they decided they'd used it before, didn't like it. We had gone through this with the staff when you weren't here. We can hear you, but we have to make decisions without you. But my biggest concern with this contract is that it's really a line item. And so then there's some issues where you're going outside of that with the CEPRA, and that's not on here. And so you're, again, taking a staff position by doing some of those functions, which failed the ABC test. So if you're going to pass the ABC test, we need to stick within that and not cross over into staff. And then as far as the independent contractor, I'm 100% in agreement with you. I was shocked by it. It appears that it's your job given to somebody else. I don't remember as a board going over or reviewing or doing this contract in March or April in closed or open session. So I'm really surprised to see this document here as an independent contractor. It should have been done in open session back then. So I don't know what this is. Sorry you got blindsided by it. I'm unaware of what this document is as well.
Which document?
The Stephen Denny independent contractor agreement, where he is listed as a contractor and not a CPA. So is he your equivalent? Because he's not registered on here, he's not a CPA. So are we employing a contractor when Sandy's, I don't know what this is.
Will I have an opportunity to respond after all
just
these
guys? I haven't really spoken as well. John hasn't spoken as well.
Yeah, you know, I do kind of mirror Annie's or Commissioner Niemer's sentiments on whether or not a 1099 contractor is appropriate within the work government agency. I think we're going to have to seek further guidance on that probably from legal. My understanding of it is you walk with a very fine line, and we may need to bring you on as an employee of the district versus a 1099. And I think we should have that discussion a little bit later after we explore whether or not we'll be able to by the book. That's my concern at this time.
All right.
Other than that, Sandy, you've been doing an amazing job. Amazing job. And you are very much appreciated, and we thank you for all your hard work. Thank you very much.
Very much appreciated.
I just...
Will there be a chance for public comment?
At some point, yes. I'm not done yet. Thank you very much.
The board.
I just wanted to clarify something. I feel responsible for some of your stress because your contract proposal presents an offer to us for services, right? We had also one from Stephen Denny. And I wanted the board to be able to look at both and have a comparison what they would be getting for whatever was offered. And so for example, we would have then the opportunity of saying, you know what, Stephen Denny would not be in the office. There wouldn't be any hands-on. You would be in a position by being here and provide tutoring in person to somebody that still needs to grow in this area from our staff. There are so many different benefits that we would get that it would then become totally evident which one of the two contracts we would be choosing. And it was not put in to annoy you, upset you, that it was brought out in some different fashion. I'm not sure, but if there was one guilty party, this was.
I just said it on that one. We just hired Stephen for a one-time thing, and then he just kind of stayed on with us. And I'm not sure what he's doing for us. And that's my question is why couldn't Sandy do the whole thing? And then. He's just going to hang out there as an observer and be able to be a go-to person if Sandy needed it. And that's why I was wondering if she worked with him and if she was happy working with him or thought we could get rid of that. I don't want to have him on as a regular. We don't have the money to pay him, is what I'm getting at, if we don't need him.
So Stephen Denny's contracts originally came before the board, I think, in 2021.
We were really messed up.
Yeah.
And we were so back. We needed, okay, go ahead.
And so this was just a renewal. At the time, we estimated to be less than $2,000. He's used very sparingly. And I wouldn't read too much into that document. It's just to think like Commissioner Weber was saying, originally we were considering hiring him to be our main, you know, person who would do the bookkeeping. And then when you were available and expressed interest, and obviously we chose you. And so he's just there to augment and be a help to you, however you need him. He's not there to replace or, you know, and I think that was written before we engaged with you. So I think a lot of that language predates, you know, our intimate relationship with you. But does that clarify?
Yeah, it really does. I was confused by reading that.
Yeah.
And both of them, there's the problem that I had when I addressed it was asking, you know, that relationship and our relationship with him. I know he did a really great job for us for the period of time that when we first hired him. And I thought it might be nice for Sandy to be able to reference a lot of that work that he did. That was my whole question of how that relationship was working. It's been cleared up and I appreciate that.
I'm sorry, for me, this agreement with Stephen Denny hasn't been totally clarified. I understand that it may be a renewal, but per our bylaws, independent contractors must come to an open session, and this did not. So I don't know how this is a valid agreement at all.
We can certainly, I mean, it sounds like that there's some issues with the language in that anyway. So I think probably we should put on the agenda and just reconsider that, especially in light of Sandy's engagement with us. So I'd recommend doing that.
To approve this at a future.
I think we have public comment first. Or
yes. No.
Respond before you make any motions.
Okay. No. There is first a motion, then a public comment. However, if you want to respond before we do the motion, I'm giving you that freedom.
Please, I'd like to be able to respond and hear what public has to say as well. I appreciate being able to respond after public comment.
All right. Okay. Are we clear on our end?
No, because now we're going to move this. We're not going to agree on this today. We're not going to approve this today. We're going to move this on. That's what Mike just said.
Okay, then.
Well, I was talking really about Stephen Denny's engagement.
So we can just approve Sandy's portion.
Okay.
I think I still need to have comment before you want to make that motion. I just want to get some clarification on some things before you make a motion, so we're very clear. So if there's any public comment?
No. I won't allow a public comment before we have the motion.
So you have to have a motion. Then you require me to speak. Okay.
When you talk about what I do, that's why I said there's that other piece of paper that it's very important that you hold on to, because the things that I list there basically are, all things are fiscal. No matter what, everything you do in your company is going to come through fiscal because it's going to affect money. So when I come in and I'm working on the company, all things are under my purview. He's your CEO and I'm his right hand. So him and I are going to see everything. And yes, you guys can all have access to those documents. But I do not believe, I'm here to protect the organization and to represent the organization. So no, I'm not going to give you just anything off the wall. I'm going to look at it. I want to make sure it's a good document before you spend any time making assumptions about things. I need to know it's the right document you're looking at. I'll give you an example of Linda came in and wanted to have a USDA document, and they gave her one. It wasn't signed. There was no dates on it. It was inaccurate information. It was a summary, but we don't know who put it together or whatever. Never should have been handed out to anybody because now it's out there. I'm here to protect the organization. So I have to be allowed to control. And that's why I wanted a chance to talk, because what I'm talking about is I'm going to turn your company around in a year and I need to have control. He controls me, you control him. That's chain of command. So I need to know that's what you guys understand about what I'm saying, because all things are fiscal. So when I talk about the quote and what jobs I'm doing, there's that other piece of paper maybe you should all have that says these are all the things and everything I'm doing is on that piece of paper. They are the things that I'm eminently qualified to do. I do need Stephen Denny. We need to have an agreement with Stephen Denny, and we need to come back. And I think I said that we need to have the two things on there. The one that says he absolutely reviews my financial statement before it goes to an auditor. You know, Enron happened back in the 90s, I think it was, and they started changing the laws. It used to be that your auditor could make your financials for you, but because there was such malfeasance between the two departments within the accounting firm, they made it to where, no, you have to have an accounting company and you have to have an auditing company. And I'm not a CPA. So we definitely want somebody to look at my work. I don't want to be second guessed on my work. I want to do all the things that were on that list about set up the account. I didn't look at those dates. I didn't realize that was from back in March, because the first thing I said when I came on board is, oh, great, we got a CPA. I'm going to have my check and balance to make sure that when I put something out, he's reviewed it and make sure it's GAAP and all those things right before we go to an auditor. So I definitely feel like we need to have him. But I'm running the show and he's reining me in. That I want to make that clear. That's how I interpret this, and that's the quote I'm giving you with the list of all the services.
Okay. I've just heard from some that at this moment there are enough questions that you cannot have a motion to approve the contract. Am I correct? That if I make this assumption, then I need a motion to postpone to a specific date.
So I just want to
clarify. According to Rosenberg's rule.
Well, to clarify my position, my only concern right now is the 1099 classification of your employment. I think we need to seek further guidance to ensure that we're within the confines of the law.
And can you reference to me what you're thinking? Who's giving you what? Give me an idea.
So
because if you're talking ABC test, there's definitely no.
So the worker must perform work outside the usual course of the hiring entity's business. The worker must be free from the control and direction of the hiring entity, both under the contract and in practice. And the worker must be customarily engaged in an independently established trade, occupation, or business of the same nature as the work being performed. So my concern is that the worker must perform work outside of the usual course of the hiring entity's business. If we're bringing you on as a financial officer, I think that's the normal course of business at the heart. So there's a little bit of conflict there, whether you're acting independently of this board and of the entity, the hiring authority, or if you're an employee of the district. So
let me just clarify for you. I'm the one that interprets that rule for everybody else as the person who runs the company. And everything you just said, I am a fiscal officer for the Klamath Community Services District. I offer this exact service to another special district. Every one of those, that's your ABC, your standard ABC test. And I have a business. I have 5, 10, 12 clients, depending upon whether you're talking about this, that, or the other thing. So there is no need for clarification that you say you need to go out for that, but I am the person who interprets this when you work for a company.
So no. We still have the concern that the worker must be free from the control and direction of the hiring entity. It's my opinion that you would absolutely, if we give you direction, would it be free from that direction, acting in your capacity, doing financial for the district.
Right. The clarification on that, and that's why I just came up and said, I'm running the show. I have control. You can't tell me how to do my job. You can't tell me how to do my job because that's my job. That's my business. That's my industry. But you have control over me because you get to approve what I do or don't. So that's how that clause gets interpreted. So like I have a cleaning lady, right? I can't tell I pay her by 1099 because I don't tell her how to clean. She uses her own materials. She sets her own hours. She decides how she cleans the house. I have certain parameters. She can only come at these days. These are my expectations for when the job is done. So I don't control what she does. So that's how that clause is supposed to be interpreted. And I clearly have just said to you, that's my expectation is I'm a 1099 consultant coming in and doing this because that is part of what a 1099 person does.
So at this point, I'm going to say something that I know you're not a lot.
Okay.
I think we need to seek out our legal counsel's advice on this just to make sure we're covered. And I have no reservations as far as bringing you on. I love the work you're doing. I think you're incredibly honest, even when we don't like your honesty. But you're incredibly honest and upfront about everything you're doing and about our financial state of the harm. And once again, I appreciate the hard work you're doing. But, you know, the dirty words, legal counsel, you know, and I think just it would behoove us to just clarify that with legal counsel before moving forward with the contract. But I'm completely good with bringing you on as long as we're operating under the confines of the law.
So I'm good with that.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ray.
You want to make a motion?
I need to have a motion to postpone to a specific date.
So I guess we should seek consensus of the board whether or not we can, because I'd like to get this done sooner than later.
Can you not make a motion that says you make a motion to approve this provided legal counsel confirms what you expect? Mm-hmm. And that way it's done, because if that's your one holdup, I feel 99.999, they're going to tell you my correct answer.
Can I just wait? So in my experience, what Sandy's saying is correct. Usually you control the deliverables, but then the independent contractor has the freedom to, you know, control their working conditions and how they achieve those goals that you've given them. But I did just message Ryan to see if he's available, but I would recommend that we just approve it. And then if there is some deficiency, we can always correct it later. I mean, it doesn't, because we got on the agenda, it's before us. Yeah.
So I would feel comfortable making a motion to approve this contract with the caveat that legal counsel reviews it and approves it. So I guess at this time I move to accept Sandy Ms. Moreno's contract as she's proposed it to us under the caveat that legal counsel gives it the okay.
I'll second the motion.
All right. There's a motion on the floor. Public comment.
First of all, I'd like to say that I've worked for a couple fairly large companies. I suppose you remember Miller Redwood Company, 30,000 acres and a lot of employees. We did not have a CPA in that office. The only time we ever dealt with a CPA is when the audit happened. I've worked with another construction company, the same thing, very large, a lot of federal and state contracts. The only time you ever saw a CPA was when it was time to audit. Now, somebody like Sandy, I don't have her expertise. She is a gem. I've done something at a little lesser level where you walk in, you tell, give people advice and all. You know, in the last 30 years, we've gone from where you would have a set of books and you could walk in and you could pick them up and you could take them home and work in your office and get things done. But now people have computers. So if you're going to do something, you've got to go to them and sit in their office. That doesn't mean that the job you're doing is any different. You're still putting together, you know, you're consulting in a way, you know, putting together financial statements, doing stuff that you take responsibility for and sign, you know. And this ABC thing, I kind of ran up against that myself and kind of changed directions. But there are exceptions in there for professional people and licenses like foresters. They do certain jobs for lumber companies and they're able to do them as foresters instead of, you know, going under their thing. So I think you really need to research and not mess this up, you know? So anyway, that's all I've got to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Somebody else.
Okay. So first off, Miss Marina was right when she said she worked for Big Rock Community, but what she didn't tell you is she left that community with five audits that were not complete. Secondly, as far as the public bond, official bonds that you're supposed to have, I went into the county and specifically talked to Alyssa, and it has to be verified by a judge before it can be recorded. She has the paperwork down there, but it has not been recorded by a judge or verified by a judge. Thirdly, Ms. Moreno, in her own omission, just verified to the public that you guys do not have emergency plans. That is not a good thing, because now you got to falsify those and say that you had them when you did it. I don't know how Pal always is. We'll consider that. Obstructing an elected official from doing her duties. Again, she just verified that she thinks she should have control of whether or not you get to see a CEPRA request. May I ask for specific financials of the grant awarded to you? Because it was my understanding that there's fraud. And that's why I want to see those papers. I'm telling you straight up. And to this date, I have not received one paper, okay? So I'll let the chips fall where they may, because you're going to give those papers to me one way or the other. If we have to go back to court, oh well. Lastly, independent contractors, my understanding is that you board members hire independent contractors. That means she works for the board, not Mr. Rademacher. She works for the people of the county of Del Norte. She gets paid by the people of the county of Del Norte. She does not get paid by Mr. Rademacher. So, with all that said, folks, I know you don't like what I have to say either, but I don't care. Thank you very much.
Is there another public statement?
I agree with Sandy. I think she's doing an excellent job. She brought us closer. She's organized us. And mostly what I saw is unity. Mostly I've worked with a lot of boards in my time. I've seen people kind of, okay, you know, and they're far distance. And then I've seen other people like they're really together. And we're together with Sandy. Sandy, thank you. Yeah. Concern was the 1099 reports. When you file out an auditors or reports down to auditors, they're going to require a 990-221 report, which is going to be attached out to your 1099 report. And what the 990-221 report says that this is her certification or person certification, and this is what they call considered considerable objective purposes. It's right at the very bottom of the document. It means that on the 990-221, you can either operate as an independent contractor, partnership, intern, seniorship, or what they call commentarial ownership, which is commentarial ownership means that I'm not a part of you, but I can work for you as an employee. And these forms, probably the IRS has been looking into them for the last 5 years. How I came across is I do a lot of stuff in financial area. And it's real important that when we do the 1099, she does them and stuff. Remember, she's an independent contractor. So therefore, it's like, you tell me to go paint that wall, and you tell me you want the wall right here to paint first and then go over there. But as a contractor, I could see I have to paint this first before I can get to that. So we're just kind of going along with what she's doing, right? In a way, because she's kind of holding up, you know, everybody we're doing. And I feel that she deserves that 75 because I've looked into it and the cost has gone up. The research has gone up. The hours are phenomenal. There's stress, fatigue, you know, sometimes there's travel. There's inconsistencies of pieces of paper that sometimes you have to have and you're waiting on another person to get. That's called an inconceivable or delay in a process. And that's basically, I would say, yes, we have a really, really good person, let's keep her. Let's work together. But we're working. I see everybody working really hard. So I like come over. Yeah. Besides doing my part, you know, and you're probably wondering how I came up with 2 days before you asked it. Five dimensional polygraph.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Somebody else would like to make a public comment at this point? Online?
Yeah. Yeah, so when talking about the protection of harbor employees, someone just now made a accusation against a harbor employee, basically slandering her work, saying, oh, something about 5 audits. Are they allowed to do that? Are they allowed to just say, just mudsling? Why did that remark? Why? Why? And that's it.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
So before we start talking about falsifying documents and Cal OES, we need to be sure we're talking about the tsunami emergency response plan and not a generic plan that Justin Hanks helped draft.
So point of order, isn't this regarding Sandy's contract, not Cal OES?
Well, I think it's, so. It was brought up.
Yeah, thank you very
much. Yeah, let's stick with this.
Okay. All right. Is there any other public comment at this point?
Yeah, I got a quick public comment. Mm-hmm. Now I'm public.
Okay, now you're public.
Now I'm
3 minutes.
Okay.
I'm point of order again. I love that you're transparent and honest, but there's no other employees, independent or otherwise, that make public and personal comment. So I would like that clarified, definitely before.
Haven't you walked out here before and made public comment?
I have.
Okay.
You just stated she's the public comment.
Okay. Yeah, I'm
That's
the public
comment.
She made an accurate statement. I was behind 5 years in those audits. We'd just done a $4 million project. I was submitting all of the 5-year audits at the time. They sent a legal letter to me saying they no longer wanted my services. That had more to do with I brought on a new bookkeeper. It was COVID. I was doing triple work, and they had somebody new that was working for them. And she pretty much put her foot down and said, I can't work with Sandy. She needed to take control and do her thing. They wrote a letter about it. I responded. I felt that they were unhonorable the way that they did that. I'd worked for them for 15 years. I stayed till the end of the project, but it is inaccurate to say that I didn't finish the 5 audits. I did all the work. I was submitting all the paperwork, and I would note all 5 of those audits came back exemplary.
Thank you.
Say something else.
Another public comment.
Thanks.
Okay. On that subject.
On the subject of what I'm watching.
Of the accounting. Not the back and forth.
It all has to do with the, it has to do, this is not part of my public speech yet. And it just got 6 seconds off my tongue. I am addressing what I am watching. And the conversation that has been here for the last almost an hour. Yes, that's what I'm addressing.
No, this is not on the agenda. What our conversation, I'm so sorry. No, the public comment has to be about the subject at hand.
This is the subject at hand.
Please do not talk and disrupt this meeting.
You know what I'm going to say, and that it's not at hand.
I need you to stop what you're doing right now. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, how do you know?
You're out of order. Thank you. I already told you, you are not talking about the subject at hand.
I haven't gotten to say anything yet. How would you know?
You already started. I'm not going to go into an argument
with you. That's so unfair. I'm sorry. I've watched a lot of unfairness today.
Thank you very, very much. Would you please leave?
No, I won't.
I'll.
You and what army? I'm sorry. No. Exercising my First Amendment right. I'm right at a public meeting to speak.
We have a recess of 5 minutes. You need to leave.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
Right. I hereby. And continue with the meeting.
Mr. Chair, if I may just interject for just a moment. I understand your apprehension and getting off the subject matter. And we do have an orderly process to conduct business. At this time, I would encourage you to allow her to have 3 minutes. However, we also need to explain that the subject at hand is on Ms. Moreno's contract. Request that you don't deviate from that at this time.
I have made already a directive, a niche for you to
then
override me.
Then I will allow, I'm sorry,
Stephanie Ryan, Abrams.
Miss Stephanie Abrams for 3 minutes, but please
Thank
stay
you.
On subject.
And I'll second it.
Okay. Commissioner Schmidt?
I'm going to vote no. Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Stephanie, sir. Commissioner Shepard?
Yes.
Vice Chair Niemer?
Aye.
Chair Webber?
No. So it's three, two, you may stay.
Thank you, Chairman.
Ah,
thank you very
much. It what a vote is.
Well, firstly, I'd like you to consider the contract that is for basically a part-time position at truly a full-time salary. And if that salary were a full-time position, it would be, what, $135,000 a year? In a harbor situation that, while we are optimistic at its improvement, is not there yet. So that's a serious consideration to put it in place. I don't see that I could possibly be out of order addressing the presentation that we heard. The presentation that we heard was very well done, very well explained, and very passionately explained. I appreciate all of that. However, what I don't appreciate is that there are people sitting in front of me today, every one of the people who was on the ballot in November that's sitting here today, I voted for. So did the rest of the community. That's why you're here. You are the dignitaries and the statesmen for this harbor. It goes to my very core to hear someone who is employed either as an employee or an independent contractor or paid in some manner as a consultant or whatever the title is, dictate to this public board that you are subservient to that person. You are not. You are the people in charge. You are the people who are voted for. You are the people we are counting on. You have a term. An employee can be fired unless you did something outrageously illegal. Nobody's removing you from your position. You're here because we want you here. We need you here. You're doing everything in your power to improve this harbor. It's obvious and it's appreciated. But the last thing, I mean, I'm shaking from it, to have a person that you're employing tell you they are the boss is heinous. It's just heinous and it's inappropriate. And under the First Amendment, there is a right for the citizen to go to any public entity and do an open records request, whether that record is a mess or not. And no employee should be empowered to say to anybody, sorry, you can't have that record because I haven't checked it yet. That's no way, Jose, is that legal. So I appreciate the three of you wanted to hear what I had to say, and I hope it isn't so offensive to you. But the fact of the matter is, you got the cart in front of the horse here, and I know you need this lady's help, but there needs to be some real, this is a teachable moment of who's in charge, and it is you people. And thank you very much for it.
Thank you. All right. Any other public comment on the subject? All right. We had a motion at hand. Would you please do the roll call?
Can we restate the motion? Tell me what we're voting on more precisely. Just to approve Sandy's request for 75 and a half.
The motion on the floor that we approve Sandy's contract, caveat that our legal counsel ensures that the 1099 is the appropriate designation for her employment.
My understandable.
Yes. Go ahead, call him up.
Commissioner Schmidt?
No.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepard?
Yes.
Vice Chair Niemer?
No.
Chair Webber?
Aye. Okay, ayes have it. Point B, consider materials submitted by Rob Sloop, Coastal Engineer and Vice President at Moffett and Nickel regarding the July 29th to 30th tsunami and related recovery planning. Recommendations and approve the use of the HMGP grant funds for tsunami recovery.
Who's presenting?
Yeah, so I've been working pretty closely with Mike Barr on how we can get some funding or tap into some existing funding to immediately and quickly take a more detailed assessment of the tsunami damage, which would include things like a bathymetric study, a survey, and take some dive into the water. You know, we can take a look at some of the utilities that are not visible on the surface, so we can get a more accurate understanding of what the damage is. And so fortunately, we're in a pretty good position with this HMGP grant. It just so happens that it aligns with some of the things we need to do. And we reached out to Cal OES, and they didn't have an objection to using the funds in this fashion. So since it could be a large expenditure of money, naturally, we need to make sure the board's supportive of that usage of it. Is Mike Barr on? I don't know if he's...
Yeah.
Do you want to add anything else, Mike, or did I get that correct?
Oh, you got that correct. We'll be talking with Cal OES tomorrow around part of this request.
Okay.
And then use of the funds as per the memo would have to come back to the board to allocate the funds themselves.
So at this point, there's no motion necessary then.
How do we agendize it to approve it?
Consider materials.
Consider.
Oh, okay, there's no approval.
It says approve the use of HMGP grant funds for tsunami recovery.
See.
Oh, I see that. Yeah, right.
Right here.
Oh,
I'm on the wrong subject. No, I'm not.
No, you're there.
Yeah,
no, you're there.
That's at the bottom of it.
Okay, got it.
I thought there was no approval.
All right. Yeah, it's the third line. Okay, then I'm entertaining a motion. You want to go for it?
Well, my comment was, is it taking away any of the funding for seawall and citizen stock, Mike?
So the answer will be no. Probably at this point in time, with the completion of the EA, the contract extension, the contract addition that you just gave Moffett and Nichols, that will be the completion of funding for the seawall and citizen stock before the PIDP grants kick in. So no other HMGP funds for those two projects.
It couldn't be used for that, then, what you're saying.
All the studies are done. All the pre-work is now done. HMGP cannot be used for construction, but can be used for studies.
Okay, then my next question is, Mike, can we use the KRC funding that they give us for some of this bathymetric studies? I mean, don't we receive money because we're supposed to be doing a regular soundings of the harbor to see?
Yeah, they haven't given us any money to date, but I think everything should be on the table in terms of us.
You know, is there money available that we should look into along with this possibly?
I think sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I asked last time about that. I know there's supposed to be some funding available for the Klamath Dam removal. So I'd like to for you to pursue any money we can get from them, especially with the silting of the tsunami and tying that in with some of the sediment that's been put in the ocean through the dam removal.
Yeah.
That was about all I had to say.
Any other comments?
I have the same questions. My other question to piggyback off that would be is, if we're using the HMGP funds, there are no other matches we would have to come up with. Is that correct?
You have met the match in the HMGP funds.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, John?
That's my question.
All right, there's a motion, right?
I'll make a motion to approve
grant funding for the tsunami related recovery planning.
I'll second.
All right. Public comment.
I have two issues. Lena Sutter had asked about the grants, and she hasn't gotten any of the grant stuff. We spent a lot of time in this last week going over all of the grants, creating spreadsheets that show all expenses to the grants. We're not finished with all that. My concern with you guys making this motion, approving that, and Mike, I'm sure you have the answer to this, is where's the part of the money left on the HMPG is to be able to complete an LHMP. We just got a recent request for where we add on our LHMP. I'm not sure who sent that to us. Do you recall? Cal OES wants to know where we're at on our LHMP. And we were supposed to be using funds from the HMGP to complete that. And I'm concerned that you're going to take funds and we're not going to be able to complete that. So have you accounted for it?
Yeah, you have 800,000 unexpended. You'll be getting RFPs to put out for the harbor mitigation plan, for the hazard mitigation plan. You are not expending any dollars today. You're given permission to request these dollars that could potentially be applied towards this. Any contracts would have to get awarded by the board. This is not an expenditure today.
All right. Any other public comment?
Well, the grant, let me get this right, will come from the emergency services. Grant might come from just what you said, the grant to cover the base, this vast domestic part that could be covered by a grant, because this is not a rush issue to get the depth of that. The harbor, because the damage was mostly on top. It's not really the bottom, but it's going to be useful. So I would say let's move it out of the emergency services type thing, best medic, you know what I mean? It's bad news. They're going to ask a lot of questions, and give it to the grant. It gives us time, and it gives us an opportunity to make something better, too. I don't know. Okay.
I just want
to know what LHMP was. LHMP, the
Local Hazard Mitigation Plan. If you want federal funding, you have to have an LHMP in place. The county does a multi-jurisdictional LHMP, and they allow all the little counties to be part of it. And then you can do a single jurisdiction LHMP and have it yourself. It lasts for 5 years, and if you have one in place, you're available for federal funding. Without one, you don't get federal funding.
All right. Any other public comment? Okay, then let's just.
Well, I want to. On my motion, I made the motion of using the HMGP grant funding. So maybe I should amend that to apply for the HMPG funding. Without changing word.
You're saying they'll apply, they'll bring the contract. We still have approved the contract.
Okay, so I'm okay with my original motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. I stand with my original motion.
Okay.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepherd?
Yes.
Vice Chair Niemer?
Aye.
Chair Weber?
Aye. All right. Point C, discussion of possible action regarding HTOP repairs following the July 29th, 30th, 2025 tsunami, including review of the August 9th, 2025 engineering assessment by David Harder, structural engineer, and direction to staff on repair timeline, permitting, and contracting with the goal of restoring service by November 1st, 2025.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to defer partially to Commissioner Niemer because she requested this item to be on the agenda, but I just want to say that it looks like we're going to be getting some money coming in that can deal with this. And I think when we were out there with David, it seemed like it would be pretty straightforward, you know, to make the repair that he recommended. There's a lot of potential energy that's, you know, stored up in those docks the way that they're set up right now with all the pressure. So it's really dangerous. And we want to discourage people from walking out there.
But and then I'll just pass it to Commissioner Emer filling in.
Gavin, can you see if Mr. Harder's online? He if he was able, he was going to try to attend.
Who?
David Harder. It doesn't appear that he will be.
Okay.
He said if he wasn't, then he gave me a few speaking points. When Moffitt and Nickel, Rob
Sloop.
Spoke, he and David Harder pretty much had the same alignment. Mr. Harder gave them more detail. He accessed the documents that you see in the packet from upstairs and gave you the really detailed assessment of the docs. And so between the two of them, it seems like we have a pretty good path forward. He said that step one would be to get someone like Moffitt and Nickel to create a repair plan on an emergency basis. And he agreed that Rob's way to solve the issue with 55-gallon drums would work. His plan, they call it KIPS. I can't remember it, but essentially those docks would require between 1,100 and 1,700 pounds to create the shift needed to release the plates. And he said maybe two drums and each quarter could do that. He said, you know, barring the safety concerns, you could hire staff or a local fishing vessel to save a lot of money to do that, but you do have some liability and risk in that. Or again, to engage Moffitt and Nickel to make that happen, and that should be able to happen quickly, depending on how slow or quick the board moves. And so we'd need the numbers on that if we're not going to engage somebody locally to try to really cut costs on, but encounter that liability. Then we need to move forward quickly with Moffitt and Nickel with a work plan. He also said there are the company he would recommend if we don't use a boat with hoses and a pump is Underwater Services, which he, I believe, is mentioned in here. I'm not 100% sure.
Commissioner Weaver, just could you go back and you said how much weight was needed to offset the buoyancy of the dock?
It's called a KIP, and so in this report it says 1.1 KIP, so it's
1,300.
Yeah, 1,100 on page 5.
Yeah, it's a
three pile, I believe. Anyway, he referenced 1.1.
I know what that 1.1 was.
So it's 1,100. Okay. And as you can see on here, if it's 1 plus 3 or 1 and 2, the max would be 1,700 pounds. But he did say Rob's solution of using the 55-gallon drums with the hose and pump would be very effective at doing that. So then you slowly lower it back down without causing any. He said the biggest issue you'll see is when that release actually happens. That's where all that energy is.
Seems like a pretty straightforward process. Build the drums and then wait till
that was why we couldn't do it in house. I mean, and I know the safety concerns, but if you actually, like, I had lunch with him that day, if you actually relieve that pressure, it's pretty safe then. Well, it's very safe, unless a drum fell off or something. But I mean, if we had them secured, anyways, then you could relieve those plates and then pump the water out and it would rise slowly. Mm-hmm. And my whole period of time we've had this week was the thought that was to try to do it in-house.
Yeah, so that was his recommendation. But if you don't want to incur any risk, then you would use Moffitt and Nickel. And it's on the board to move efficiently to get it done. For that. And that was his recommendation.
I'd volunteer to help with that.
I would love to help with that.
Yeah, and I mean,
we got big pumps.
And if we had somebody outside of the organization do it, have a liability waiver to address that, you know, risk, I mean, I'm sure people would be willing to help out. You know, if we said,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Nothing, just big guys to handle.
Yeah.
That would be the pressure.
I guess, yeah, depends on the guy.
Yeah.
1,100 pounds, volunteers, circus ride.
No, this is just a discussion, so.
I think there was
possible
action, yep.
So,
well, my direction was to possibly look into doing it ourselves.
Does staff work with Commissioner Shepherd to make this happen?
I got barrels.
Immediately?
To do it this evening. Yeah, I think we could save some money if we did it in-house. But say, there are the safety concerns. Do you think that's something that's feasible?
How do you feel about it?
I think we can do it, yeah. Okay. But if there's concerns with the maintenance guys, then I think we'll have, you know, we'll do it amongst some people we gather, a posse, and just have a liability waiver.
Yeah.
We'll do it. Yeah.
And the sooner we get it done, the faster we can moor a yacht there and without power.
That's the way I like to operate.
Okay.
The whole
darn
can would come here.
In
all right, then let's
have a motion. We're directing staff. Work together with this and get it done.
And
maybe a
possible action and directional.
Well, yeah, maybe we can come up with a plan for it with maybe Moffitt and Nickel. See what they say about it before we actually do it.
Yeah,
if they have any concerns.
I'll reach out to Rob.
Okay.
Yeah, and maybe David too if he's willing to engage.
Oh, because he did mention he didn't know the actual weight, but David does mention the actual weight. And David said, you know, he doesn't want any further involvement in the project. That back when he built the docks, Moffitt Nickel was much smaller. He said it's grown to 1,000 or 1,000+ staff, and they seem more than capable of handling us. He just really wanted to see what happened with his design and whether it held up or not. And this is his assessment.
So, yeah, let's talk at Herman Well, the repairs, and send that board to because I'm sure they'd be interested in it.
Well, then there's going to be the next stage is going to be to repair the dock.
Yeah.
And I think we agreed, or I asked him, and he agreed that more flotation would help on the dock to prevent that from happening again. The plane was being longer. It would not have gone in and got found. So, I mean, but that's down the road. This is, we need to get the dock level so we can get some boats moored there. It'll be a less moorage. We're going to have to figure that out because they don't have power or water or anything. So I don't know what we're going to charge them, but we could set, you know, there's still a few months left of yachts coming through here that need a place to tie up. So they have their own generators, usually give them a lower rate. Sooner we can get it done, better. Yeah.
All right, then
I rate back to the next meeting. Then rate change, temporary rate adjustment.
Do we make that decision, or we just the CEO? I don't know. I know we'd have to make a rate adjustment. We should make it a policy because it's going to be probably through the winter, and the big crab boat's going to be here. We're going to have to be the same rates for them as well. We should adopt a rate,
yeah,
and approve that rate.
Aren't we trying for an 11-1 completion date of all of this so that we don't lose anything in our crab season?
Yeah. Well, I don't think the power and water can be restored that quickly. That's going to be a lot of money.
We're hoping you can tie up yachts or any large crabbers over there. Right now it's not usable, and the moment they float flat, we can put anyone there.
I think essentially where we're at right now is that that's a hazard. And we need to mitigate that hazard, and then we'll address the water.
And I understand now that 11-1 is what Moffitt Nickel would could do for what we're talking about. They're just making them
lost revenue.
Huh?
Am I anticipating any lost revenue?
Potentially,
we're losing revenue as we speak because nobody can buy it.
Season. I'm only looking at. In my mind, I already started to focus on 11-1
if we're
done. I don't lose any money for crab season.
Well, there's going to be a slight loss on that dock because of the fact that we can't supply them power and water.
So it's just
that's probably a 2 year. I think their estimate was another 2 years to restore power and water and make the dock better than it was before so it doesn't happen again. So that's the major restoration of that dock is going to be adding flotation, possibly changing where the wiring goes through, and all that's going to be very expensive. And that's where you're approaching your $1 million. But to get it to where a boat can tie up to it so we can start generating income is where we're at right now.
It would be decreased moorage. So you wouldn't receive electric, but also it would be decreased moorage because they don't have the water or electric service there.
But we can get some funding to restore the lost revenue. So that's in, like I mentioned, the reason I was late today because I had a really, really encouraging phone call, which I don't want to let the cat out of the bag yet, but I think we're going to be in good shape.
All right. Okay, cool. So then I see a consensus to go forward with the immediate repair. So we'll have public comment, right?
Yeah.
Okay, public comment. Anybody would like to make a comment about this particular subject at all?
Just one. Question is
comment.
Comment. The water and sewage. How are hydrant systems doing in the harbor in case we have an accident? Might be a fire, water, saturation, something.
This one here.
Yeah, I just kind of want to know.
All that water shut off on that dock. We're working on the H dock right now.
The H dock's going out.
There's no power, no water, nothing going on.
Yeah, I'm just asking in the future, that's all. If you're going to put any kind of hydration in there.
It's all in there. It's just not working now because it's the water shut off.
Okay.
I just want to know. Thank you. Somebody else. All right. We have come to an agreement. I don't see any more public comment. At this point, the meeting is adjourned. We're going to see each other on Wednesday, August 27th, 2025 at 2 p.m. Thank you.